0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big night of European qualification action for Rangers and pass the baton on to Hearts and Hibs. Michael Beale's side take a 2-1 advantage to Switzerland next week, but the manager feels it could have been more. Hearts are in action against Rosenborg with Hibs Luzern not too far away, and Carl Starfelt leaves Celtic, securing a move to Spanish side Celta Vigo. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight is Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson.
Well, it's been a busy midweek so far, and it'll be a night of reflection for the Rangers supporters who went along to Ibrox last night and saw their team cruise into a 2-goal lead and could have been 3 before making the tie uncomfortable in the end. The ties probably should have been over and done, a bit of work to be done. Some fans will be happy with what they saw, some will be thinking they could have got more. And over to Hibs and Hearts now, both the Edinburgh sides in action. Hearts up just now, Hibs later to come. Best of luck to both.
I've got to say, watching the game last night, Ibrox, Gordon, I think the Rangers fans and players, management, everyone concerned will go away from that game frustrated. It was one of those games that could easily have been put to bed last night. I thought the goalkeeper, Servant goalkeeper, was just the game of his life. A few missed chances, cruising at 2-0, give away a cheap penalty kick, gives them a lifeline. Tie is still finally in the balance.
Come on then, 01419511025. Let's hear from you. No shortage of talking points, as always, in Scottish football. Very simply, Rangers fans or anyone else who watched it, what did you make of last night? What was good? What was bad? Are you satisfied with that advantage? Is it a bit too close for comfort? Should it have been more? What do you make of the response, the reaction to Saturday? So much criticism, understandably so, since Saturday. So what about the performance last night? Was it better? How much better? What about the new faces? What did you make of them? All your post-match reaction, please. Get it into us right now. 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, it's been bubbling away for a while, but Carl Starfelt is gone. He has moved to Celta Vigo. Again, what do you make of that? He divided opinion at times, but clearly a very successful partnership with Cameron Carter-Vickers. How much will he be missed? What type of replacement are you looking at in there? Do you need more than one central defender? Give us all your thoughts. We'll see if Mark Wilson and Gordon Dalziel have ever moved for love as well, maybe a bit later on in the show. 01419511025. As the guys quite rightly say, Hearts in action nowish, yeah, now, and building up to Hibs. You just never quite know what you're going to get with Lee Johnson's side, it appears, so we'll do that as well. If there are fans of either of those sides who want to get in touch, we are here for you. 0141 951 1025. Nice to see that one week in to the live streaming, you've totally ditched your dressing up and looking smart for the cameras. Is that all it was lasting?
I think I'm looking as smart as ever.
You're better than him, to be fair.
He's gone.
It's like a jammy top, yeah. It's very comfortable. Actually, this guy was present when I bought this. Remember,
yeah,
when I got this?
Yeah, 15 quid.
I got it across the road at the trespass shop.
Jammies shop.
15 quid.
He absolutely tortured the guy who was on himself at the time, who had just been promoted to manager. Not the thing you want to say to him. Just try to get all sorts of discounts. But it's comfortable, Gordon. It's nice and relaxed. I feel relaxed in my surroundings.
That's where you buy your clothes for this show. I'm not judging. Listen, it's a fine establishment, I'm sure. Anyway, other clothes shops are available. 01419511025. I love these midweeks early in the season because they're absolutely massive. I mean, you've got no time to find your feet if you're Rangers, if you're Hearts or Hibs. They, I mean, in some ways can be season defining. If you want to get specific, look, Rangers are going to drop into the Europa League, whether they go out of this round or go out of the next round. Obviously, they'll be hoping to make the Champions League, but it's, you know, they can be season defining. Mid-August.
Yeah, especially going on Rangers, especially after the start of the season down at Rugby Park, where they come in for, not criticism, just losing the 3 points. I think the performance, I think some of the new players come under the spotlight, and that tells on the manager and it puts a little bit of pressure on you, especially last night. I thought we'll hear what the Rangers fans say tonight, Gordon, on the lines, but I thought the performance was a lot better, looked a bit sharper, created a lot of chances. But in games like this, when you've got the opportunity, I think the disappointing thing about it is you've got to kill these games off. You've got to kill that tie off last night. You're up against a team that obviously lost a lot of its key players. Their goalkeeper just had one of those nights. I thought he was incredible. Some of the saves were incredible. There was a few missed chances. They got off to the perfect start. You can't ask for a better start. 2-0 up at Ibrox in front of a big crowd, cruising. I think they'll be disappointed with the end result.
Right, come on then, 01419511025. What did you make of the Rangers game, result, performance, talking points last night? We even had VAR penalty drama. I don't know if there's any debate to be had there. Celtic fans, Carl Starfelt is gone. What's your reaction to that news? Big European ties for the Edinburgh sides tonight, and some other managers out there doing their media duties today as well. So you can get in touch on that usual number, on Twitter at ClydeSSB. And remember, such is the way of the world this season, you can now watch the whole thing on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter. So Clyde1SSB on YouTube, you'll find us on the usual Twitter feed or the Clyde1 Facebook page as well. So join in, why don't you? The more you speak to me, the less I need to speak to these two. Think of it as providing some sort of service to keep me sane. Let's hear a bit from Michael Beale to set the scene for you whilst you get your calls in. He says Rangers played well for long periods last night, however he did think they became wasteful.
We started really, really well in the game. I thought the energy from the team was good in and out of possession, and the desire from the first goal from Nico and Todd to chase a couple of lost causes down really was fantastic. Borna Barisic, who I thought had a good night, put some great crosses in, and playing with obviously the two number nines gives you that opportunity. You know, you get Danilo goes across the near post and Cyril scores, and in that moment we're in a great place. I thought after that we were wasteful. We could have gone 3-0 in front, then the VAR decision on the penalty. I think it's harsh, but that's the ruling. The second half, their keeper made a fantastic save from Sam and from Cyril, and we had other moments again where I thought we were wasteful on a night where we played well, in my opinion, for a long period of time.
0141 951 1025, that's the number. Serge and Shettleston dialed first of all tonight. Serge, how would you sum up last night then?
Decent last night. First 20 minutes I thought Rangers were, but it was acceptable. It was really good attacking football, good energy, couple of good goals. And then we seemed to sort of get bogged down a wee bit, lost our way a wee bit. Obviously the penalties are apparently in this day and age, right? I'm no too concerned about the result. I don't care how good Servetta may be at home, or 8 players are missing. I think we're good enough to finish the tie, at least get a draw. I've not even talked about the weekend, right? I think the weekend's been covered enough. And I'm one of Michael Beale's biggest fans, right? Some of the new signings, Daniil looks a little bit of good thing. I'm not impressed with big guessers, I'm sorry, the jury's out on him. I don't know if he's a new Scottish Rangers version of Tony Cascarino. I'll rest my case for another couple of games to settle down. I was happy enough with 20 minutes. If you look at the game in general, right, Lammers, this is a sort of last screen out, could be game over, right? Mm. The keeper makes a couple of good saves. We never played sparkling. First 20 minutes, we were really good. Put me a wee bit in mind of good football in Europe under Gerrard, especially Barisic. We should have used Barisic more. Really impressed with Raskin. But Raskin and Cantwell are the two players who will be access for us. I'd like to see Raskin, Emil runs forward, because every time he get the ball in forward position, he was always moving, and you need movement in the final third to create things. And I think Raskin will only be there for a season. That's a jewel in the crown, that boy.
Okay, let's find out what these two thought of your assessment. What jumped out for you? Is that fair? Was it about that first 20 minutes? Is that the real was that the real positive from last night?
I felt so. I thought the inclusion of Cantwell again really well, it was the right choice. You could see he was a standout for me in that opening 20 minutes. I thought Rangers just moved the ball quickly, and that's what they needed to do after the disappointment of Saturday, and everything was a bit pedestrian and everything was a bit direct. They moved the ball through their danger players, the players that could create, and they got the ball wide, they got it into the box early, and they got their rewards from that. So a lot slicker in that opening period, but they just seemed to take their foot off the gas a wee bit, particularly when they went two up. And you've seen Servette just, you know, get a hold of the ball a bit more and start to work things into the final third. I get that it's going to happen on the European stage. There's always going to be periods of games that does happen. But when you're on top and you're at home and it's the first leg at home, you really need to, you know, take your opportunities. And that will be the disappointing thing for Rangers fans.
Yeah, and you look at this team, they know how to defend, especially when they go down to 10 men. They make it very difficult. I know a lot of people think, oh, their advantage, one man advantage, we should go on and really kill the tie, score more goals. But they are so well disciplined. I watched them over in Belgium against Ghent and I thought they were brilliant. You know, so, and they get through that tie, obviously. But in the Rangers' point of view, I do agree. Dessers, for me, he's not hit the ground running, but what I will say, for a positive on him, he got a goal last night, and he got it in front of the home crowd. Now, that gives you all the confidence in the world. We talk about it every time a new striker comes into a club. Most important thing, get that first goal. It really does. It gives you so much confidence. So I'll be interested to see how he now kicks on. I totally agree with Serge. Raskin, for me, you talk about Cantwell. I think Raskin is absolutely a brilliant player. I really do. I think he does a terrific job in the middle of the park. I think he's got everything in his locker, and I think he'll be a big player this year.
The one moment that really changes the feeling or the complexion, I mean, not for Serge. Serge thinks that they've got enough, and they may well do, but what I mean is that goal that Servette scored obviously is the thing that strikes the balance for next week. Michael Beale says it was harsh, but you know that's the ruling. Serge himself saying, well, it's a penalty nowadays. Any complaints?
No, it wasn't harsh. It was a stonewall penalty. We were watching it together, and the minute you've seen it, yeah.
Hold on a minute. My imagination's going overtime here because yeah, for
we
years.
Just,
wait a minute.
Wait
a minute.
Now. We're friends.
What night of the week is this?
This is Thursday.
So what night was last night?
Bath night.
You've always told me that Wednesday's bath night and you watched the game with him?
Yeah, he was down there.
I wasn't in the bathroom.
He was at the
tap end. I was scrubbing his back.
I was outside the water. That's not the turn I expected this show to take in part one.
We ended up in the same place watching the game. And
in the bathroom.
The minute that the incident happened, the two stonewall penalty, you can't complain about it. I don't think MD can complain. It's unfortunate. It's just the way the laws are now. And it gives them a lifeline.
I think the big turning point, though, was the miss by Lammers. It's guilt-edged at 2-0.
What happens? And is it not sorting out his feet, opening up too much?
I just thought the defender maybe just put him off. The ball came from behind the defender so quickly, so he's got a view of it the full way, but just that last bit before it arrives at his feet, I think just put him off and he doesn't sort his feet out, and of course it goes wide. If that goes in, you know, it's easy street for Rangers. They can then take their foot off the gas a wee bit. Servette, you know, can he sit back and defend? They have to come out and Rangers pick them off and probably the tie's over. But just conceding, missing that, conceding a penalty, there is work to be done. But you know, Serge says he's pretty confident. I think Rangers will have enough to go over there. They'll play a different way, I'm sure. I don't think they'll go for it right away. And we've seen in European ties in the past, away from home, not Champions League level, at the lower levels, Europa League, Rangers have been pretty effective at that sort of performance.
And also, what'll help them, Gordon, is the fact that there's new players in there. It's a new team. They're trying to get to know each other. They've not got off to the great start at Rugby Park. They've got another home game against Livingston. Now, you would fancy them strongly to go and win that. So that gives them another game under their belt leading up to next week.
Okay, Sergeant Shettleston is not concerned by the 2-1 scoreline. Thinks Rangers will go through. Thinks they've set themselves up nicely. Thank you to Serge. It was nice to hear from you, Serge. What about Nadim, who's a Rangers fan? What did you think, Nadim? It was always going to be about looking for improvements, I guess, from Saturday. Did you see them?
Hi, Gordon. Thanks for my call. Good to have you back. I mean, I absolutely definitely seen improvements. For me, I mean, the positives for me were that the first 20 minutes I thought were really good. I don't think we're exceptional, but we're really good. We made some really good chances, as we just spoke about there. If Lammers takes that chance, makes it 3-0, it's the game's probably over. 2-1 is still in our favour, but it's going to be a lot tougher, I think. For me, I mean, the positives for me, if you know, as a Rangers fan, if I look at the positives, I see Raskin, as Gordon just said there, I think he's going to be a top player. Cantwell was very good last night. I also thought Scott Suter played well at the back. You know, he, obviously the European games, so he got a bit more time in the ball. He was able to step out and pass the ball really well. And also, I think Cifuentes looks a right good player as well. So those are the positives for me. But Gordon, what really worries me just now, I've always given Michael Beale the benefit of the doubt, and I thought I'll continue to do that until the point where I think it's not working. But for me, the second half, I just felt, well, I don't know the guys saw, but I just felt when they got into the last third, especially after they got a man sent off, when we got into the last third, there was no invention. We've lost all our pace, I feel, at the team with Kent and Sakala going. I feel we don't have any pace. Seaman's got pace, but he's not a player. Lammers, to me, the duty's still out on Lammers, absolutely. And I just feel that players like Dowell, he's absolutely done nothing. He's played four or five games now, including the pre-season games. He's not got a clue. I would not play him and put him in a Rangers shirt again. But the most worrying thing for me is we're being in the last third and a half in that Kilmarnock. We've just not got the pace. We've not got the invention. We've not got any ideas to go forward, you know, to players to get in behind. And that really worries me. The Rangers
team, I loved it. That started so composed. Then you worked yourself into a frenzy and somebody's not a player. Somebody else has not got a clue and you don't want to see them in a Rangers jersey again. That's a bit extreme at this stage of the season, is it not?
Okay, maybe it is. Maybe I'm just annoyed at the bad start I've had, you know, in terms of the league. But the worst player in that park for me was Dowell, without a shadow of a doubt. I'm giving another player the benefit of doubt. Like I said,
You're not getting him in the back of the shot.
Let's do something rogue. Let's start on the positives. And look, this is not a bad thing because new players might need a bit longer. But is it safe to say that if you were looking at the improvements last night, that the big positives, it would probably be from the guys that were actually already there? So you've mentioned Rask and Cantwell comes in and shows, I guess, to everybody why he should have started at the weekend. John Suter, Nadeem's been impressed with him.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it could be a big season. I like the partnership with Suter and Goshen. I think they're two good defenders. I think coming forward in modern day game, use of the ball, I think they're good at that as well. Obviously, John Suter, he's got to stay away from these injuries. It's just unfortunate he's missed a big part of his career. But there's no doubt he is a talent. And that could be a good partnership. You've got to form that goalkeeper, two centre-backs partnership where it's really solid. That's the base of your defence, you know, because full-backs in the modern-day game, Tavernier, Barisic, they're so high up the pitch. No, I thought the guys that have been there stepped up last night. They did get to the stage when the opposition Servette went down to 10 men. It was always going to be difficult. People think it's actually harder to play against 10 men because they just sit in there. They work on it in training. Teams work on this in training. The minute they lose a player,
does that become a bit of a cliche?
No, they do.
I accept that it has its challenges and it's maybe not as easy as people think, but harder, like actually harder, more difficult than playing 11.
Because what happens is they just get into the defensive mode where they sit with the two back and they don't push people forward. And when they don't push people forward, and I'm going to come up to his point now, if you don't push people forward, there's no gaps to go and then play in behind.
I think Rangers are missing something. It's one of these things.
He's digging himself into a whole game.
I don't doubt that it's maybe, like I say, the best. For me, the best description is it's not as easy as people think. It can't be harder.
No, it's not harder. You just need to be move the ball quicker. You need to be more creative than the Nadeem's talking about, and the gaps will appear.
If you had the choice, right, you're the manager, right? You're sitting before the game.
Yeah, right. I'm getting out with 10.
UEFA come in and say, I'm gonna give you the choice. You get to play against 10 or 11.
Yeah.
You're taking 11.
If he's playing, I'm like,
you're regretting that statement.
No,
I love how Gordon's recognised that though.
My point's correct because
is 9 even harder still?
No, definitely no, 9's easier. Okay, because what happens when you've got 11?
Oh, I know.
You've still got an attacking choice where you're going to allow players to go into the final third.
I'll ask you one more time.
When you've got 10, you sit and you do not move.
Fine, so if it's easier, you'd rather play against 11 than 10 from the start of a game.
No, that's not the point. You're making up for your own points.
Nadeem, put a percentage on it, confidence-wise, of progressing next week.
Yeah, I'm confident, Gordon, because I think they're not a great side. They've played well with 10 men, as Gordon said. Because they're maybe used to that. I think they've had a few men sent off in the last few games. So
So, yeah, so I'm absolutely confident. I think we'll all go there and do the job. But what worries me is if we do that and go there and do the job, we'll play our PSV in the second, you know, in the playoffs. And they had a right good side, you know, they've beaten some guys 4-1. And we know how hard it was last season to beat them. So that's what really worries me, Gordon.
Thank you very much, Nadeem. In Livingston, 01419511025. It's not going well for Hearts. 1-0 down after 14 minutes. That was a few minutes ago. Fredriksson has put Rosenborg 1 up. So a long way back for Frankie McAvoy or Stephen Naismith's men in Europe. So we'll see how that goes. Keep your calls coming. 01419511025 if you can. Twitter is at ClydeSSB as well. We'll take more of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here. 01419511025. Twitter at ClydeSSB as well. Feel free to leave your kindest regards on YouTube or wherever else is out there. You can now watch the show, of course, as well. Let's hear a bit more from Michael Beale. He says Rangers aren't the sum of all parts yet due to a lot of change this summer. However, says he doesn't want to use that as an excuse.
We're never going to use it as an excuse, but the reality is 13 or 14 players left and 9 came in. The reality is Danilo's trained with his teammates 4 times. He had a pre-season which was all over the place because of his move. Jose's trained with us twice. Tom Lawrence is coming back. Kamar's back. We're not the sum of all parts right now, but what I want to see from the team is more forward running and more energy. I thought Nico and Todd gave us that from midfield tonight. I thought it was an exciting front three. You can see they're finding connections. They're trying really hard. I thought they pressed ever so well in the game, and I think they'll get better with it. You can see that certainly with Cyril and Danilo, they're still getting up to full speed. So we're not going to use any excuses. That's just the facts of the situation. There's been a lot of change in the football club. I think we're set up well, but I'd rather us just keep showing it on the pitch.
Let's bring in Gareth, who's a Rangers fan on the line. How is it going, Gareth?
Good evening, Gordon, Simon and Gordon, all okay?
Yes, I mean, it's Mark and Gordon, sorry, Sutton, there is no Simon. Sorry to disappoint you.
Evening.
Evening, Gareth. Gareth, the thing is, he's been called much worse, so you're absolutely fine. Honestly, don't worry about it. What are you thinking after last night?
Rangers played really well. I think everybody's documented that the first 20 minutes was absolutely really good. Obviously, getting it was a penalty. Like I say, Rangers played really well. I'm a bad don't like Borna Barisic at all, but he actually played really well last night. I'd just like to get the views of the panel regarding I think Rangers should have had a penalty when their player headbutted Butland. It didn't go to VAR or nothing.
It wouldn't have been a penalty though.
Well, it was a red card.
That was that Servette's penalty, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So when the taker's about to take it, Jack Butland comes out. We actually had a look at it again during the break just because it popped up. What do you think?
Be honest, not for me. Very close. So if there's a wee bit more force in that, yes, but I don't think there was quite enough aggression in it. It ran the risk. As soon as you put your head towards another opponent and motion forward, you run the risk, but not for me, Gordon. I didn't think there was enough force behind it.
Yeah, with this being mostly radio, try and describe it, Gordon. It's almost like the heads are touching, and then he kind of pushes Butland's head away, sort of thing. As Mark says, if you're the Servette coach, you're undeniably thinking, what are you doing there? Why are you doing that? Was it enough for a red card?
No, I think it was borderline. I think that, as Mark quite rightly pointed out, I think he's run the risk. Why he's doing that, I have no idea. If you're a manager of the Servette, you'd be probably going off your head on. But I don't think it was enough for a red card. But I think he was a borderline with it.
Do you think it was, Gareth?
Yeah, I think red card, yeah. I mean, obviously, the rules regarding
Sorry, Gareth's line went a bit dodgy there. I heard him saying something about the rules. I mean, there is... It was violent conduct. You're looking usually for that sort of brutality or excessive force. They do tend to take incidents involving the sort of head or face. It's not, you know, it doesn't need to be quite as forceful, but still, if it's I think if the force is negligible, then it wouldn't fall into the category of violent conduct. And so you think the force was negligible?
No, and to be fair, I think that, credit to the Rangers goalkeeper, he didn't make a meal of it. I think there's other players out there that would have probably thrown themselves to the ground and tried to make the referee make a decision on it. It was a little bit naughty, but I don't think it was enough to merit the red card.
Negligible force for you, Mark Wilson?
No, I don't think there was enough.
Yes was the answer to that.
Oh, sorry.
Based on what you said a minute ago,
I don't think there was enough force behind it anyway to merit a red card. But look, the two heads are together. Butland's involved in that, but the only difference is the Servette striker pushes his head in a forward motion, which runs a risk. But he would have to withdraw and then motion forward,
right,
really,
okay,
to merit a proper headbutt.
He knows a proper headbutt.
Because remember, we're live streaming now.
Cumbernauld to him.
Something like that.
Watch my nose.
I don't want to hit his nose.
We could have a nosebleed here.
Yeah. Could have a fractured skull, more like Mark Wilson. Right, Gareth, let's go back to football in terms of the match itself. You'll need to agree to disagree with these two on what is excessive and what is negligible force. You confident that was enough last night? Is there any fear in there that it should have been more? Does that leave a bit of a sour taste in your mouth? Should it have been more?
Oh, it should have been a lot more. But I mean, if Lammers had scored that goal, that's we're talking 3-0. So, like I said, I think Mark said before that game,
Sorry, Gareth, that line is ropey. The good thing is we're getting the gist of Gareth's point before it goes. I need to find a new way, because the cliche about goals change games, and it worded that differently, so it's not as obvious. But even at the bit of the game where you would say Rangers' performance had started to dip, had started to wane, that was still the bit where the Servette keeper makes
brilliant save.
Really, really good save, wasn't it?
Yeah. And then from Lammers.
Yeah, so I mean, we're having a very different discussion. But at the same time, you can understand that it feels like there's a, even going back to last season, very rarely, and you would accept new players and all that, so not to judge too quickly, but that sort of 90 minute or even a 70 minute real strong performance for Rangers, is that still missing? Is that something that has maybe been a bit of a theme since Michael Beale came in?
I think so. I think it's fits and starts a lot of the time. I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from Rangers fans, that they can see it in fits and starts, that they can see that guys like Cantwell and Raskin can perform and create moments of magic, but it's just unsustainable. And they always seem to give whoever the opposition is a period in the game that they get on top, and more often than not, they get punished. They give away goals. I think that's the difference for a top team. When you give up moments or periods of the game, you're able to see it out, you know, and defend your box well, and, you know, not give away easy chances. Under Beale, I don't think Rangers have found that yet. So a lot of work to do in that respect, and it's not to do with the new players. That's the structure of your team who's been there and done it and needs to get better.
Just a bit of an interesting one for maybe down the line. Rangers have got a job to do first, but it's been confirmed now that Malik Tillman has signed a new deal at Bayern Munich, but has gone on loan to PSV.
Who they could get?
Who he helped Rangers knock out last season, and it looks like he'll now line up for PSV against the winner of Rangers v Servette. Again, Rangers on the driving seat, PSV are certainly in the driving seat in their tie. They're 4-1 up, so football does these things.
Yeah, something to look forward to, but Rangers have obviously got to go over a hurdle next week. I look at this Rangers side, I think they will improve. I was listening to the Rangers manager there talking about how many training session players have had together, and it takes time to gel. It is a big turnaround, there's no doubt in that. But the one concern I'm looking at the side and I'm looking at the squad is, where is the real pace going to come from? I think in today's game, I think pace is great in a team. You look at Celtic, for instance, the pace that they've got in the front lines. I don't see that in Rangers just now. Sakala's went out the door. Kent, you know, has got that sharpness, that pace. When he was on forms, he could just goodbye defenders like they weren't there. I'm looking at the Rangers squad just now and I don't really see where that's coming from.
See, just on Michael Beale saying, I'm not using it as an excuse, but we're not the sum of our parts just now and it takes time and this one's not trained that much. Got to remember a lot of the praise that we were giving Michael Beale post-season was how quickly he was getting his business done and he was getting players in the door. I get one or two signings have come in late, but pre-season to work on a lot of things. So it's my opinion they should be better or more gelled. I get that will come with actual competitive games, but I think a lot of Rangers fans are the same, thinking pre-season, okay, there's a bit of grace here in the first couple of games, but that's where you do the majority of your work in the training pitch. And you have games behind closed doors as well. So
did we see more of it last night in terms of what that's going to look like? You know, that sort of narrow attack from Michael Beale, lots of players within close proximity, and then trying to get a bit of fluidity within that. Yeah. You know, it's people were saying, lost the width a lot, but that's deliberate, isn't it?
They've not really lost the width. The width's going to come from the two fullbacks high up. I think if you can get Barisic. And I know he's got his critics, and there's one sitting next to me. If you get him in the right positions, I think he's got terrific delivery. Yes, the question marks against his defensive role, of course they are. Same on the other side, Tavernier, I think, has got great delivery.
Is there still a temptation to rely on that too much then, though, if you don't get that the other bit right?
Yeah, maybe. But I just think that's the way that Michael Beale set outside. He's not got any out-and-out winger that's going to drop the shoulder, hit the ball by the defender and leave him for dead. He's not got that in his squad just now.
Craig is on the line. Craig, what pleased you? What worried you?
How you doing, guys? Listen, first and foremost, you know, we won the game. You know, we did get the result. I think the performance, you know, it was mixed. I think we played well for most of the first half. I certainly think that Servette offered next to nothing in the game, and that's why it's so frustrating that they're even still in it, because we should have put them away. But it is a positive that we won. I think we've got to try and keep building for that, get into Saturday and then next week as well. I was, however, a bit frustrated and a bit confused by why Kemar Roofe isn't even in the squad last night, because he's in the squad against Kilmarnock at the weekend, comes on for 7 minutes.
He's not in the Euro squad, though, remember?
No, that's what I mean.
Right, okay, got you.
I'm confused as to why he's not, because Michael Beale referenced him, said he's back. So if he's back, is Michael Beale wrapping him in cotton and wool by leaving him out of Europe and thinking I'll focus him domestically? And if that's the case, then knowing that, why not give him more time on Saturday there? Because I do think when you're lacking and you need a bit of creativity, Kemar has proven, that he can go and score your goals. I know he's got his injury problems, but when he's fully fit, he's arguably the best striker we've got available at the moment. Because I think Dessers and Lammers, look, those guys have came in, they've had two games, but they've got stats that show you they don't score a lot of goals over the last number of seasons. And my concern is that what we're seeing, that's the kind of players they are? They'll get into the positions. I mean, Lammers should score. But maybe their confidence is still building, having had a couple of FA seasons on the goal front for forward players.
Dessers, as you said, Gordon, you'll find out very quickly if he was in any doubt that just scoring's not necessarily going to be enough. Is it those types of signings? Are those the ones that have still got a bit to prove in the eyes of fans like Craig and maybe yourself?
Yeah, anyone I'm speaking to, Rangers fans, that's a concern. Dessers, listen, he got his goal last night. That could change everything for him. You know, I'm looking forward to see what he brings to the party on Saturday against Livingston, because he's obviously full of confidence. He's got that first goal. He's got it in front of the home crowd. He's got an important game. I agree with Craig. I think Roofe has a lot to offer. The problem is they can't get him a run of games where it's injuries or whatever it may be. But Roofe is a good player that if you put him in front of goals and you put the right sort of quality in there, he'll put the ball in the back of the net. He's not a bad player. But obviously he's got Lammers there, then Elo as well. They've got players.
What about Danilo? Because it's obviously he was the one that arrived to the, probably with the biggest reputation, biggest
probably
fanfare,
player
biggest
of the year,
price
I think.
You tipped him player of the year.
No, I didn't. He did.
which, by the way, might turn out to be the case. And, you know, we saw him from the start last night.
Yeah.
Trying too hard maybe sometimes or
looks like he's got a bit to go to get up to the standard that the Rangers fans will expect.
Could you see anything in flashes that you liked?
No, I agree. I think he's off it. I think he's off the pace a little bit. But as I say, it's early. You've still got to give them that time to bed in, get that sharpness, get that, get what Desser's got last night, get that first goal. So I think there's a bit of work to be done, but I think he's got enough talent to get there.
The big thing, Michael Beale, he's brought these strikers in and a handful of attacking players. You have to get them better than the ones that you let go. Now, Morelos and Kent weren't pulling up any trees. Colak was a goal scorer who, you know, much was labelled at him outside the box, but inside the box he came to life and he scored an awful lot of goals for the appearances he had. Michael Beale judged him not good enough to take Rangers forward. The guys he's brought in, Dessers, Danilo, have to show sooner that there's glimpses that they're going to be better than Colak.
Thanks, Craig. 01419511025. Celtic fans, Carl Starfelt is gone. He's away to Celta Vigo. What do you make of it? Give us your reaction. And how do you think you'll plug that gap? Do you need two central defenders anyway, or just one like for like? What does it say in terms of the rest that are left at the club? Gordon Dale can tell us if he's ever made a football decision based on love as well. 01419511025. Yes, Alana was the latest cash register winner, and more than £59,000 is hers.
Never. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, imagine £59,000.
Nice. I love that reaction. Honestly, shows how much it means. Yeah.
Incredible. Really emotional call, as you can hear. That cash is going to make a huge difference to Lana and her family. Now it's your chance to win £60,000 tomorrow when we make the next call. To enter, text yes to 61025. That's yes to 61025. If you get the call from us after 3 p.m. on Friday the 11th, answer within five rings. Make sure you know the correct cash register amount. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Online entry is £2. Or you can call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate as well. Over 18s only. And all the rules for this Hit Radio Network Scotland competition are on the website. So text yes to 61025 for your chance to win £60,000. Good luck.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Mark Wilson are here. I've got bad news for you Hearts fans, bad news for any fans of the Scottish coefficient as well. It's 2-0 Rosenborg, right on the stroke of half time. What do I say every Saturday? You can't get away from it. The old cliche about it being a terrible time to concede. Rosenborg have had chances again, and they have eventually doubled their lead just before the break. A bit of a counter attack and a tap in at the back post, Jaden Nelson with the goal. And Mark, we know these ties can be tough, and Rosenborg is a, you know, it's a familiar name. I don't think we've got the right to turn up and think the Hearts should, you know, should be like overwhelming favourites. But I think Crusaders did put four past Rosenborg over the ties. They didn't they didn't pull up any trees recently. If that gets any worse, you'd be looking, looking at Hearts to try and make a fist of this and take it back.
Yeah, of course. I mean, reading articles today that Rosenborg wasn't the name that we once knew, and Champions League qualification was the norm for them. So yeah, I had a wee bit of optimism that Hearts would go there and actually come out with a positive result. Maybe not win the game, but coming back with something to go at Tynecastle. But you're right, this is a period of the game where Rangers could have put it out of sight. Rosenborg gets the next goal, then tie could be over. Otherwise, if Hearts get their act together in the second half and manage to nick something, then they're in with a shout, but they need to be much better.
It's not great, Gordon.
No, they're in dangerous territory. If the home side get the next goal, then the Tynecastle ties away. I know that you can always come back, Tynecastle, packed house, great atmosphere, get an early goal, get everybody going, but if you're losing 3-0 away from home, I don't think you're going to retrieve that.
Okay, 01419511025. Carl Starfelt's move to Celta Vigo has been confirmed. I think this has been clearly in the pipeline for a while now. Brendan Rodgers said he put him on at the weekend because it would probably be his last game. 2 years at Celtic, treble winner, Of course, played his last game there against Ross County, and now a 4-year deal at La Liga side. And the subplot to this, it just seems to be like a common factor. I don't know if anyone's ever said it. Maybe Brendan Rodgers did acknowledge it as he moved to be closer to his partner Jacinta, who was a Celtic women's player last season. Would you ever do that? Do you ever move love?
Would you?
No. The job's too important to me, especially Celtic. I mean, he's
maybe he just fancies a crack at La Liga and playing Real Madrid. And
I would
Barcelona.
Give up money for love. I would always move. Yeah,
you gave up a lot of money for you for love.
I certainly
away a lot of money.
Yeah,
maybe that's one for Saturday because we don't have much time. I think we should throw that out to the listeners on Saturday. The strangest thing you've ever done for love. I'd love to get Hugh Keevan's thoughts on that.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of interesting answers on that, particularly for the guy to the left of me. But look, it's moved pretty quickly. I thought
the relationship or the
both,
move, right? Okay.
Both, it seems, unless it's been going on for a long time. Of course, it was made public and good on them, but I don't know why I'm getting relationship advice here. Good on them.
Please phone in.
But Starfield, I thought he did well for Celtic. I've said numerous occasions what his poorer points were, but the relationship he had with Carter Vickers. A new manager.
The relationship with Carter Vickers, right? Okay.
Must be a great guy to be around.
See, be fair, forget the love thing. If you look at it as a footballing move, it's actually not a bad move, is it? He's going there, 4-year contract to a fantastic league.
Nice part of the world.
Nice part of the world. It's not the worst move I've ever seen.
I would agree. Right, Paul is on the line. Paul, you don't need to talk about Carl Starfield's love life. I think we've, you know, let's move on. Let's talk about the football side of it. What was your reaction to that, him leaving Celtic?
Hi, how you doing, guys? I was a Carl Starfelt fan. I liked the guy. He was in with big Carl Vickers, which I think he could make him look good. But I liked him. I liked the his style of play, and he was a good defender. But I've got confidence, I think, in the recruitment team now that they'll sign. They'll sign a good replacement or two good replacements. It's not a bad move as well. It's no harm Celtic's reputation. I mean, he's moved to one of the top leagues in the world. Don't believe they've made any great money off him, but they've probably recouped the money they made, maybe get a wee bit more, which they paid a few bob from, so I think they'll be able to reinvest that. But I'm disappointed to see him go, but I think this is going to be the way. I think Anne's hinted to this before he left about this aggressive model about moving guys on, and I like Starfield. A few people didn't like him. He always seemed to be the one that kind of had a few bloopers, didn't he? But disappointed. But no. Overly, I think I've got confidence in the recruitment team because historically we've been signing very well.
Mark. As Paul says, Carl Starfield did divide opinion. There would be those who thought, you know, he was really the weak link, if you like, and maker of many mistakes. There would be others who thought, do you know what, actually, no, he's good and it's a good partnership, but I still think we could upgrade there.
Yeah.
And then is there you know, grass is not always greener, is there a fear that he will be a hard man to replace?
Well, Starfield caused his own problems, first and foremost. It was when he was on the ball and he seemed to get himself into tricky situations, and that was his downturn. But like Paul said there, in terms of a defender, I thought he was top-notch. Thought he defended his box brilliantly. Now, Navroski's come in, he looked good at the weekend, but it's one glimpse, so you would hope that he can build on that and be as good a defender, Starfield, because that's first and foremost what you want. I get Brendan Rodgers and every modern manager wants their centre-half to be the complete player now, that they can defend their box, they can be commanding, they can score goals at set pieces, but they can come out of defence and pick a great pass. Some people aren't all that, and if they are, then they tend to go on to bigger things. But Navroski and whoever they get to replace Starfield, because they're going to need somebody, you know, has to be as good a defender first and foremost. So it's not always easy getting your recruitment right. The boy Gustav Lagerbielke, is that how you pronounce it? Seems to have similar attributes. He's an internationalist, he's a young player, so ticks all the boxes, but he has to come in and and fill the jersey the way Starfelt did. Now, Starfelt had a bit of a slow start, but really built that relationship up with Carter Vickers, and Celtic need to find that quickly.
How big a miss, Gordon?
I think it'll be a big miss.
Yeah?
I thought defensively that partnership last year was very, very strong. I think that Starfelt got better as his Celtic career went on. Yep. I thought he got better near the end. Yes, he had his critics, and it was all down to, as Mark pointed out, about his use of the ball when he came out of defence. Sometimes he'd be a bit slack and put his team under a bit of pressure. But defensively wise, I just thought he was solid at the back. I thought that Carter Vickers and him had a great understanding. So as much as you say, yeah, we'll have an upgrade, we'll bring in other players with good pedigrees, sometimes they just don't have that same partnership, because I think centre-halves have got to have that understanding. I think Starfelt and Carter Vickers had it, so I think he will be a miss.
Very quickly, Paul, because we're a bit late, you mentioned you've got faith in the recruitment, but I suppose Kobayashi was added in that area, and then when he was brought in, people thought, well, maybe he's going to, you know, replace Carl Starfelt in time anyway. Have you still think that's possible, or how many more would you look to bring in that area?
I think not everyone's going to be a kind of top-notch player, but I also think as well, we've seen that many guys from kind of that side of the world, that they're not all going to settle in quickly. Like, we were just lucky how when Hitate, Maeda and Kaya go the way, that I was amazed how quickly they just took to it. But no, everybody's like that, so I think they're not all going to be a success, but I think different, they're young guys as well, so different guys are going to need to take time to acclimatise to the game. But again, we need people in the now, don't we, because we've got the Champions League coming up. So I'm not particularly worried, but I do think that they're human beings. No, everybody just takes to it.
True.
Everybody, so
that is true. Well, we'll see. We'll find out how quickly Celtic move to strengthen that area. But before we go any further, we've got some big business of our own to take care of.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And the great thing about tonight's Beat the Pundit, there is no one out there, pundit nor listener, who can be as bad as Marvin Bartley was last night. And I know he'll be listening, because he always listens. 01419511025. Beat the Pundit's next. Give us a call before 7.
Tackle the headlines. 41951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Your buzzwords coming
in. And Gordon DL are here. Did you just speak before the end of the news? People can now hear you banging on about your password.
Yeah, whatever that was. Password for MD wants but he can see it in the screen behind us.
Yeah, for anyone who's watching the live stream, I don't know what's going on in the TV behind us, but somebody's entering their password. They're not watching anything.
What's coming on though?
Watching anything untoward. This could be the end of the live stream.
Yeah. Move on.
Someone's about to put some of their own programmes of choice back there anyway. 01419511025. Just before the news, we were discussing Carl Starfelt's exit from Celtic. Celtic fans, what do you think? Will he be missed? Was he underrated? You look at that partnership with Carter Vickers, or did you believe that he made too many mistakes for your liking? Do let us know right now, please. Your plans on how to replace him as well would be good. 01419511025. Twitter at Clyde SSB. We've just restarted in Norway. Hearts are 2-0 down, got into the second half. They've made a change. Beningame off, Haring on. So not looking great. Hopefully they can do something in the second half. Let's play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, everything's possible tonight. It's like a clean slate, because no one can do worse than Marvin Bartley last night. Do you know what? The contestant wasn't great either. It was a 1-0 win. Oh. But the important thing is that Marvin Bartley got the nil, the zero.
That's the hard donut. To do that.
He's
so many people done it.
He's had a real bad week. Saturday, he started off disaster.
Oh, he's not happy about that, by the way.
No, last night.
Let me tell you.
Last night, zero. Downhill for
incredible,
a big
incredible, really bad. So hopefully we don't get any zeros tonight. And I think I'm right in saying, remarkably, for the second night in a row, though, the contestant is phoning in from Portugal. Don't know why, everyone on holiday. Mark, are you on holiday or are you, do you live there?
We're on holiday, aye.
Were you inspired by last night's guy?
No, we've been here for a few nights now, don't worry.
It's last night, the guy, it was his first night, he was there with the in-laws. And you know that weird period where everyone's away getting ready and you're a bit bored, so he phoned in.
Is Mark the same?
That's exactly what Mark's doing.
He's getting started a trend.
He's lying there, the sunburn. He's getting a packet of crisps. Everybody eats the crisps.
Oh, yes, packet of Lay's.
On holiday.
Ruffles.
What a choice.
What flavour?
Jamon.
It had to be jamon.
Jamon, I think, could be the. Oh, incredible. Aye. What a choice. Silent. You were in Albufeira in the summer.
I loved it. It was great.
Your name's Mark.
Yeah.
What more is there to
great place.
Is that where you and Simon Donnelly went and someone thought that he was Stephen Hendry, the snooker player?
It's amazing. Honestly.
Was it you that was, he told that story, but were you with him?
I was with him, man. The boy had a good afternoon anyway when he said to Simon, "It's you. It's you. Stephen Hendry. I almost fell off my chair. He came back and says, "Can I get a photo?" And Sid's doing the pose. I said, "Give me that camera, mate. He'll do the pose for you."
The boy just went over the queue.
And the boy just wouldn't accept that Simon wasn't Stephen Hendry. So Simon just had to go along with it to say, "What have you been up to? Pot and boss.
I beat John Higgins last week in the series."
That was amazing.
How's the holiday going, Mark?
It's been class so far. We were in Madrid for a few days before as well.
Oh, now you're talking.
Been enjoying ourselves.
Brilliant. So who are you with?
I'm with six of the boys.
Oh. You been down that strip yet?
Oh, we've been down. We've acquainted ourselves.
I think we'll leave it there. I'm just impressed that at this stage on a boys' holiday, Marks.
It sounds okay.
It does.
Right, good. Anyway, let's do it quickly before we live to regret this. Heads, it will be Mark Wilson. Tails, it will be Gordon Deal. You've not played with the cameras yet, have you?
No, I've not, but I fancy my chances tonight with Mark in Portugal.
Well, you're going to have to wait. It's Tails.
That's Daz.
It's Tails again. It's Gordon
Deal. Is it me again?
Up against Mark and the lads.
Oh, they want you, DL.
All right, okay, Mark. Right. Don't lose.
Let's give Gordon some greatest hits radio to listen to. And we'll get the clock ready. Mark and company, 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, okay?
Well, do it.
Right, let's go. Your time starts now. Name any of the opponents Rangers might face in the next round of qualifiers. What are Partick Thistle's home colours?
Yellow and red.
Hibs Europa Conference opponents Luzern are from which country?
Armenia.
And what date does the first Old Firm game take place?
The 3rd of September.
Who is the current manager of Airdrie?
Maybe McCabe.
How many players are you allowed to name on the bench in the SPFL Premiership?
7.
Dougie Imrie is the manager of which Championship club?
Graham Martin.
Okay, let's bring back Gordon Deal. Can you hear us?
Thumbs up.
You were tapping your toe along there.
Good music. I was enjoying it, yeah.
What was it? You don't have no clue, do you?
Love's Young Dream.
Brilliant. It's appropriate for you. Is that the Carl Starfelt tune?
Yeah, that's
away?
What I was thinking.
Right, same. Are you ready?
Right, go.
Don't lose to Mark and the guys. You'll never hear the end of it.
Six of them as well.
30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Name any of the opponents Rangers could face in the next round PSV. Of Champions League qualification. What are Partick Thistle's home colours?
Yellow and red.
Hibs Europa Conference opponents Luzern are from which country? And what date does the first Old Firm game take place?
23rd? Don't know. September.
Who is the current manager of Airdrie?
Ross Pascoe.
How many players are you allowed to name on the bench in the SPFL Premiership? Did we get that in time?
No. Surely not.
Who's Ross?
Producer Chris says yes, Mark, so don't blame me. He says we've
Ross
got
McCabe.
Right. We'll get to him. We'll get to his cousin. Right, name any of the opponents Rangers could face.
McCabe.
Gonna be quiet. Right, that's not right either.
It's not right.
It's Reese.
Reese right? McCabe.
There's no sense of suspense for you. I was going to build up to it. Mark, how do you think it went?
I might have picked him.
Were you getting any help, Mark? Was that all you? Because you sounded pretty confident.
The boys are annoyed having the same nine subs.
They might be right. Name any of the opponents Rangers could face in the next round at PSV Eindhoven or Sturm Graz. It looks like it will be PSV Eindhoven. I like that you put real thought into red and yellow You got it right in the end, but I was just. Yeah. So it's 2-2. Luzerne are from Switzerland. Gordon DL goes 1 in front, but.
No.
3rd of September is the first meeting of Glasgow.
Would I say 23rd?
You were weeks out. I don't even think you were in the right month. So the guys are level. Rhys McCabe.
Oh, yeah.
Is the manager
he
of Airdrie.
He was speaking about him last day as well. I know Rhys very well.
Yeah, former Airdrie director of football, of course. Nice to
keep
see you
touch his old club. Still keep in touch.
Did he get that?
He did.
Oh, no.
So the one in front, you are allowed to name 9 subs, though.
Yeah.
So you've equalised.
Yeah.
But the guy's got one more question.
Oh, no.
Dougie Imrie is the manager of which Morton. Scottish Championship team? The ball is on its way to Albufeira. Not technically, but...
Nice. Listen to that. Oh. That's a jolly bunch of guys here.
Go and give a shout out for your teammates in the background. Who are they?
We've got Kieran, MT, Daniel, Scott, Robbie and Andy.
Brilliant.
We lost a ball earlier on as well, so it's quite handy.
There you are. Listen, we get complaints, Mark, that we can't send balls to Airdrie within 3 months, so it won't reach Albufeira in time. But thanks for taking part and well done again.
All right,
enjoy well done, the rest of your holiday.
And 18 guys beside you.
That's a good holiday story to tell. I mean, not the type of boys
I
holiday.
Say Muppets in the back.
Where'd they lose their ball?
In the pool.
In the pool.
Got to be.
Kicked it in the pool and went into
there
over the fence.
You got to send one of the boys over to get that.
Worse.
Aye. I'll tell you what, they're exciting to go on holiday. But what are we doing tonight, guys? Phone Super Scoreboard. Oh, you're joking. What's going on?
Even worse when they're going to use that as a chat up link later tonight.
Exactly.
I just won't beat the pundit. No one's got a clue what they're on about. Anyway, well done to the guys again. John Witherspoon's tweeted, he's watching you. He's sent me a picture, 120-inch flustered dazzler, he says. John's got the projector.
Oh, 120 inch.
Your face blown up
in the cinema
to
screen.
120 inches.
I'm disappointed there. I should have won that.
It was poor.
3rd of September. I don't know why I said the 23rd, right? I added a 2. And Rhys McHale, I cannot believe I never got that.
5-4.
5-4.
That's your second defeat of the season as well, no?
Yeah, I've lost 2-1-1.
You've not even played yet.
No, you need to get me on. I'm pretty confident.
Not allowed to fix it though, the coin
no,
never lies.
No, you've got to
I know
go
that's the thing,
coin.
It's visual. No. You know.
The coin never lies.
No, the bright side, I never got a 0 like the big guy last night.
Still lost though, that's the thing. It's the same number of points in the wins column.
None. But it was a good game. And I'm up against another 8 guys over in Albufeira.
Where, sorry?
Albufeira.
Geography does yeah. again.
Over in the Portuguese island.
Lovely part of the world, that's good. So you were in Portugal as well, weren't
mm-hmm. you? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You were in the upmarket.
Would you refer to the Albufeira Strip as a lovely part of the world in 5 hours' time? I mean, lovely in some ways, but...
bit too lively for me. I liked the old town I went down there. Me and Simon.
So
Simon's
a too weird for you.
That's a while since I've been there.
The Lake Holidays?
No,
you don't
I don't know.
The Lake Holidays?
No. I hope there's long queues at the airport for the boys coming home.
Right, still 2-0 to Rosenborg. Unfortunately, it's not really what you're after, Mark Wilson, from a Scottish perspective, certainly from a Hearts perspective. And it seems like, you know, a lot of the ball, a lot of possession, not really able to do anything with it. You know, then kind of punished twice. Rosenborg have had other chances. And I wonder how the managers will... We'll explain some of the decisions, because I can see a lot of Hearts fans are tweeting, complaining about Benny Beningame as an example, a real fan's favourite, has been missed the entirety of last season, yeah. injured, and then goes and starts an away game in Europe,
yeah,
and by all
that's
accounts,
a surprise.
With no offence to him, because it's understandable, looked like he had been out for that amount of time.
Well, he came on at the weekend, didn't he, for a cameo, and got a good reception, but it's such a huge... game for him to be pitched into, so you know, strange decision in that respect. You go away from home in Europe, Gordon, it is incredibly difficult. Even some of these teams that don't hold the status of some of our household names,
no easy games and all that. But as we said, look how they sneaked past Crusaders in the last round.
But you have to be more resolute. And you know, for a long time on Saturday, you know, at St Johnson, it didn't go all Hearts' way either. And I get that they got the 2 goals at the end, but, you know, it's been a slow start for Hearts, and they've left themselves with all to do. If they concede another, as we were saying earlier, the tie could be over. If they hang in there at two and get out of there at two, then maybe the joint managers will have a look at that and say, after 45 minutes, that's not the worst result.
I know you had some wider thoughts, Chris, in Govan. Let me throw one on you, if you don't mind. How do you feel about Carlos Starfelt leaving?
Do you know what? It's one of those things. He's left and we've replaced him. Do you know, if he's going on to bigger and better things, then, you know, when you've played in Scotland, he's won everything in Scotland, he's going to go and try his hand in Spain. And it'll be interesting to see how he copes with the European standard, because La Liga is a better league than the Scottish league. You're up against a lot better players.
I mean, not replaced them yet, Mark, so that's the next thing. Yeah. And that'll be one that needs to happen soon, because we've spoken a lot about Celtic's transfers, and a lot of them maybe are, you know, you can bring them in now with a view to the future. They're young and they're promising. Celtic got a pretty good starting 11, to say the least. Carl Starfelt's the first choice. Centre back.
Yeah. So, I mean, the argument is maybe Navroski was brought in.
One of the first choices.
Yeah, he was brought in to be that, knowing that Starfelt might have been on his way. But I still think you need another. I still think it would have been wise if Starfelt and Navroski was there, and you've got three powerful out and out centre halves.
So I'll take part of that back. I know that, sorry, that Chris meant Navroski in terms of replacement, but it sounds like there was another one needed anyway, or I
think so.
What's happening with Kobayashi?
I certainly think so. Kobayashi, I would like to see Kobayashi being given a wee bit of time. I don't think we saw a lot of him. What we did see him, he didn't look as powerful or assured as the others, but I still think he's a nice footballer. I wonder if he'll be Brendan Rodgers' cup of tea, but I still, regardless of that, I still think you need another there to really push whoever's the starting two. But chatted about Scales the other night. Obviously, he looks like he's on his way out. Welsh isn't going to play a part anymore. I think Welsh did fine for his time there as a young player coming through the academy, but will go elsewhere. I've seen some Celtic fans on social media put across their concerns that, you know, players this time last year that were in the building who have now gone. When you look at Starfelt now, you look at Giacomakis, you look at Jota, you look at Moy, you know, players that played a significant role aren't at the club anymore. And you wonder if the ones that have come in are going to be as good, are going to have as much success. And I think that a portion of Celtic fans just want maybe another couple of real good signings that have got a bit of pedigree behind them. Not that they're going to be good in a couple of years' time, that they're going to come and better the Celtic side.
I think we just judge too quick, Mark. We look at Rangers, we're judging them after Kilmarnock game. You know, Michael Beale says 13 out, 9 in. Celtic have brought in new recruitment. You're right, they've lost some quality players. I think Starfelt's a terrific defender. I think he'll be a big loss. But they've brought in players as well. They've brought in wide players, they've brought in midfield players, they've brought in defenders. So we're only one game in, and, you know, Celtic fans and Rangers fans, oh, we need better, we need this. I think you just give players time to settle in, and it takes a bit of time. Some guys can just hit the ground running, it's natural to them, they find it easy. Other guys just take that little bit of time to settle into clubs, especially the size and the demands that Rangers and Celtic put on.
What else is on your mind, Chris?
It's basically, obviously, we've got five clubs in Europe. Now, obviously, Hearts isn't going to plan tonight. But what would you guys say would be the minimum expectation for the three clubs who are going to be playing group stage football, regardless of which competition? Now, for me, Celtic has got to be Europa League. We try to finish third in that group, whoever group they get. If Rangers are in the Europa League, they've got to be thinking last 32 or whatever it is, you know. And for Aberdeen, I think Aberdeen, realistically, if they were in the Europa League, have got to be thinking conference. If they get knocked out of the Europa League qualifier and end up in the conference, they've got to be thinking of getting out of the conference group.
Well, Mark, what do you think? A lot obviously depends on the draw for whichever team. Yeah. But it would be nice to see a real go of it from a number of Scottish teams this season, wouldn't it?
Well, let's start with Celtic in the Champions League. Listen, I get Chris's point. Minimum Europa League, because you've got to better what you've did last season. So there's no point in, you know, having narrower margins with scores, but still finishing bought me the group and crashing out. So you've got to qualify, get European football after Christmas. Now, if that's the last 16, brilliant, but it's incredibly difficult to do now. For Rangers, well, look, Rangers, you'd have to say they have to qualify for the Champions League. They did it last season. If they don't do it again, then it's obviously it's a step down, and the finances will reflect that. Of course, they've shown that they can go deep into Europe in years previous, and maybe they'll have an eye on that, but no doubt
it's going to be tough though, isn't it? And I get what you're saying. Well, what about the qualifier?
They played the qualifier last year.
PSV. You know, they didn't do that 2 years in a row. It is tough. That's why winning the Premiership is so important.
Of course, but they've shown they can do it again. If they don't do it this time, well, you're always wanting to progress, Gordon. So it's a step backwards if they don't get to the Champions League. Now, the Europa League group stage might then throw up something unexpected for them. They might top it and go on a great run. Who knows? But for Aberdeen, yeah, I would agree. I mean, you really want a sustained period playing European football. And
well,
you work all
guaranteed
season.
Guaranteed group stage football, yeah. Aberdeen. Incidentally, Hacking are 3-1 up. Have finished, actually, 3-1. So it looks like Aberdeen will play Hacking, who I think people expected.
Aberdeen played them a couple of years ago
and beat them comfortably.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. So there you go. You
to get into the Europa League groups, that is.
That's a huge opportunity.
You need a little bit of luck in cup football. Of course you do with the draw. You need a little bit of luck. But you go back down, even go back down to that conference that everybody's going, well, that's really the Mickey Mouse sort of a...
Not for us, it's not.
No. But what I'm saying, for the big club, you look at how much West Ham celebrated that quarter. A team of the stature of West Ham and the money.
Absolutely.
So it showed you how much it means to them. And they're still very good teams in those sort of a tournament.
Thank you, Chris. Not going to plan for Hearts. Hibs are up next, and we'll get a full time teaser on the go as well.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
It's that time of the night when Mark Wilson and Gordon DL team up, put their considerable brain power together to come up with an even more powerful footballing mind.
The thought of it, yes.
Something like that. It's the full-time teaser. That's when you send the questions to us and we try and catch the pundits out between about now, round about 7:30 usually, and the end of the show. You beat the pundit. You have to redeem yourself. Yeah?
Disappointing.
Fancy
that,
it.
Yeah.
Right, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's how you get involved. If you think you can come up with a question, email it to me, fulltime@clyde1.com, and we'll try our best to use it on the show. Forgive me, I'll need to double check who sent this one in, because I need to get you your
pony.
Your obligatory. Oh, yeah. No, it wasn't.
John Smith.
No. Somebody different. You need to get your obligatory shout out. So the question is this: can you name... And I'm going to have to cover this up. I feel like you can see my answer from there.
We're big boys, we don't do that.
Can you name three players who've won every domestic honour, both north and south of the border? So obviously the main cups. When I say every domestic honour, I don't mean the Challenge Cup and the whatever it's called.
Yeah, English League, Scottish League.
Did you say three players?
There are three players, that's it. You're only looking for three tonight. Three who've won every major domestic honour, north and south of the border.
How far back are we going?
Actually quite far back for one of them.
Like Kenny Dalglish type back?
Yes.
Is that one?
What a start.
Well done.
What a start. We'll leave it there because you've never only got two. It was sent in by Andrew in Burmullock, that one. Thank you to Andrew. Much appreciated. And you're a third of the way there, so we can leave it. Still 2-0 to Rosenborg. I believe Hearts did have the ball in the back of the net, but it's been ruled out. What a difference one goal would make. Take it back to Tynecastle, get the place rocking. Try and go and score early there.
To be honest, I'm with Mark. I even think 2-0, you're still fancying your chances. 2-1 would be a terrific result, especially the way things were going early on. 3-0, I think the tie's gone for him. I think it's too big a mountain to climb. So 2-0, yeah, reasonably be still confident. Pack Tynecastle. 2-1 would be terrific. But 3... no problem.
Surely need to get the afro on. That's what they're needing.
Oh.
Halliday's afro.
Some length in that.
I don't know how humid it is in Norway. I've got no idea. Probably not very. But if it is, can you imagine it?
Curly.
Could you imagine that wet?
Hmm?
My God, that must be some
legend.
I bet when he comes out the shower and his missus combs it and all that, right?
Twitter has been magnificent with it. The other night he was on the show, yeah, and people were saying all sorts of lookalikes. And we can say this because he won't hear because he's in Switzerland.
Yeah, he over turkeyed.
You might get the reference because you'll have seen the film. I don't have faith in you. I did see one tweet saying he looks like he's about to rob his on a drum set. Do you get it?
Take out his Step Brothers.
Dale Dillback. Step Brothers.
I'd love to join in with
you
the giggling.
But no. Right, you after watch the show, Google Step Brothers the film, and you'll right, get the.
Okay.
You'll get the.
That is good.
The reference. That's
majorly curly. Has he always had that curl in it?
I've no idea. I couldn't possibly.
I can't remember him having curly hair.
I think the lad who done it put too many seeds in.
too many curly seeds.
Yeah, he's been feeding it too much.
Anyway, Frankie Kent has had a header towards goal, but straight into the gloves of the Rosenborg keeper. Now it's over to Hibs. What can they do? I'm kicking off right now, actually, against Luzern. They've had their difficulties in Europe. Then they came back and did the job brilliantly at home. And then they lost their opening league game of the season as well. You never quite know. It feels like Hibs are all. It just feels like they're always on the brink of something.
You know what? Yeah. I wouldn't like to be a Hibs fan because it seems just to be the case for them all the time that they manage to accumulate a squad of good players and they'll do something extraordinary. They'll get a great result. They'll play great football and then bang. Mm. They'll go on a run that's inexplicable. Wee Johnson, his time in Hibs has been, it's been interesting, to say the least.
I'm going to get to him in a minute. I'll quickly give you the starting lineup because it has actually started that one. So David Marshall still in goal. Miller, Hanlon the captain, Fish, Levitt, Yuan, Boyle, Newell, Stevenson, Lafondre and Dylan Venti. That's the headline, the new signing. By all accounts, paid about £700,000 for him. Dutch striker. So a lot of expectation on him. Get him in the team tonight and see what he can do.
Yeah, I think the Habs fans will be looking forward to seeing him. But you talking about the front players there, Boyle back in form, scoring. You've got Yuan the other side, plenty of pace, showed what a good player he is. Lafondre coming in just off Venti.
He actually looked quite sharp against St Mirren, didn't he, at the weekend.
Yeah, so I think middle of front, they look great on paper. It's about all coming together. It's just they always seem to be a weakness, a softness, a vulnerability at the back with Hibs, and it was proved just on Sunday there, and it was proved in the first leg of their opening tie. So they need to be much better coming up against better opposition tonight.
Yeah, talk to me about this. Have you seen the quote from Wee Johnson? I mean, there are many, right?
Yeah.
He never disappoints, and it could be this could be one of my favourites yet. So I'll just read it, in fact, and don't think you need much context. So it was about the game at the weekend. No one goes out to be lazy, but fatigue makes cowards of us all. I thought for the third goal, Will Fish could have got back in quicker. I looked in the GPS because I'm psychotic like that, and he ran at 82% of his maximum. So I asked him if a lion had been behind him, how much of his... Let me finish. I've not got to the punchline. So I asked him if a lion had been behind him, how much of his maximum would he have gone? And he said 103%, which I thought was quite funny.
There's so much wrong with that statement. It's untrue. A lion, and then 103%. It just doesn't. Well, it doesn't.
Well, that's a great
GPS
question to ask.
If a lion was behind, yeah, ever been asked that by a manager? If a lion was behind you,
I think Lee's onto something here. I'm with him. Do you think there's a lion behind you, mate? You're getting in there and you're getting a point for your team.
I'll always say this, and it's easy for me because doing this job, if people want to express themselves and use colourful language and interesting metaphor, please do knock yourself out. The more the merrier. Mm. Prefer that to the one game at a time boring stuff.
Yeah.
However, and then put myself in Hibs fans' shoes or Hibs players' shoes.
When your manager's asking you the question,
does he need to be naming specific players and telling the world that they weren't running at their maximum? I mean, some people would say, fine, you know, if you, why not? You know.
Yeah.
The players need to then step up to the plate and don't allow that situation to occur. But does he gain much from it? I mean, for instance, the way it's worked as well. So, again, maybe just a flowery language. Fatigue makes cowards of us all. So people are then making the link and saying, you're calling Will Fish a coward?
Yep.
You know, he's telling her, I don't know, you might have, I'm genuinely asking, do you have, would you have a problem with that? Can you see why some Hibs fans would prefer it was a bit more reined in?
I don't know if I'd have a problem with it. I think that when I was in the car driving home for training, I know what I'd be calling them.
Well then, so it sounds like you've got a problem
so,
with
it. What should you be calling them? Good manager.
David Brent.
Terrific trainers, I've got to say. I did notice that on Sunday about him.
Oh, you were having a go at his press sense, weren't you?
Lee Johnson's Lee Johnson. Lee, he likes to come out with statements. I don't think he's boring, but he does come out with some stuff that the footballers that probably have may just raise their eyebrows.
I think, see that scientific data, I think that maybe crosses the line a bit. I think it's different. You see it collectively. You know, the team needs to, you know, have a real good look at themselves. And, you know, but when you're presenting data to the fans, you're sort of singling
goal,
that player
Lawrence
out.
Shanklin, there we go. Oh, the man that's always back. Good for a goal. That's on. That's back on. You would take that back to Tynecastle, wouldn't you?
I said that.
Good. Okay. Let's see if we can finish stronger than that from a Scottish perspective. Sorry, as you were saying.
Just when you're actually hitting the fan base with stats about individuals, I don't think it adds up that well. I think that makes it difficult for the player. I think you can pull him in private. I think you can pull him along with a sports scientist, and you can have a quiet word saying this can't go on. I think when you
broadcast the line, I like that.
The line one.
Yeah, if I ever get back into football, I'm using that one. I'm stealing that one.
I think because that's the headline, but I like the subtle one. I looked on the GPS because I'm psychotic like that. That's my
psychotic.
Favourite bit. I don't know why. I just like that.
He's a required taste, Lee Johnson. Let's just say that.
I like it.
Yeah. Listen, I think he's, for people that go along there to interview him, I think he's brilliant for that. I think you'd be excited by that.
I think he'll be one of these managers that, if he ever does lose his job, there'll be maybe players that will have their say.
Oh, I think that's an absolute certainty.
How he managed.
I think that is a certainty.
One or two who might have a few things to say.
Maybe do that favourite manager quotes at some point. I mean, obviously he's got business to get down to tonight, does Lee Johnson. I wonder what Man United think. Will Fish is on loan from Man United as well. I wonder if they've had a look at those comments. I wonder what they think. So a couple of minutes in, 6.5, Hibs nil, Luzern nil. So hopefully we can get something there from a Hibs perspective. Hopefully there are no Lions
on
the road tonight.
He may have used that in his team talk before he went out and just reminded the lads, look,
Luzern's full of Lions.
When you're feeling tired, have that in your mind, there's a line behind you. I think that's a great quote.
I'd try and feed it like my days at Blair Drummond when there was a keeper for the day. How's he get out of that? Yeah, if you say that to the manager, feed it, pet it.
Just wonder about that Hearts goal and what it does for the psychology of the tie. If you are Hearts, you taking that 2-1 just now?
Yeah.
Or actually, though, is that a goal that will really worry Rosenborg at this point? And actually, that's something that you could go and take advantage of?
I'm going the negative way. I'm taking the 2-1 and take my chances at Tynecastle. Especially 2-0 down away from home. You were in danger of maybe losing that third goal, probably the tie with it went away from you. Shanklin, terrific captain of Hearts.
Good
player, good striker. Gets him back in the tie. I think you take that and run for me.
Yeah, I would agree. You know, chatting about it earlier, the old cliche, no easy games in Europe, but it is true away from home. And when you're 2-0 down, I think they would have been happy to get there 2-0 and take their chance at Tynecastle 2-1. Terrific to get that goal, and it just gives them that confidence they can get at Rosenborg, you know, especially if they played so much of the game in a negative manner. A real bonus. So over to Hibs now. Well, Hearts, get that job done first. Over to Hibs. Hibs look lively, got plenty of creativity on the pitch, but this Luzern team, like, not too bad either going forward.
Just a small matter of Aston Villa, potentially, if they
by
get
way,
through
what
this.
What a tie that would be, eh?
John McGinn derby.
John McGinn.
Brilliant.
By the way, I can't believe it. 5 years ago, he signed for Aston Villa.
Yesterday or two days ago.
I saw him posting on social media. I can't believe that. Time flies.
Lee Johnson will be in good form ahead of that. That would be tough, wouldn't it?
Oh, that would
be. To say the least.
Yeah, really.
Unai Emery against Lee Johnson. Meeting of minds.
I know who I'm going for the best dressed.
Right, how are you faring on this teaser? Not that many answers tonight, so that shows you that it's quite tough. We're looking for three players, that's it. I mean, some of these teasers have got 10 and 11, but three players who have won every domestic honour north and south of the border.
Brilliant.
Give
go
me one
on.
Name.
You
Joe Hart. Wow.
Brilliant.
That's you got two, so we'll leave it there. We need a bit of suspense. You've got Joe Hart and Kenny Dalglish. We'll get the rest of the answers. And still time to call. Get in touch, 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hear it. Watch it. Search the YouTube stream now. Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Gordon Diel are here. The final part of tonight's show. You can still call and please do. 0141 951 1025. Still 2-1 to Rosenborgs. It's looking a bit better for Hearts. They'd rather not lose the game, obviously, but that Lauren Shankland goal does put a slightly different complexion on things. And goalless between Hibs and Luzerne at Easter Road. Let's bring in Jack, who's a Rangers fan on the line. How's it going, Jack?
All right, guys, how are we?
Not bad here. You all good?
Aye, not bad, you?
Good, yep, all good. What are you thinking tonight?
I think Rangers have maybe missed a trick. You can see Rangers are still trying to play the same way as Gerrard did.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was the same way as Beale. They're the same kind of backroom staff and lobby with Barisic and Tavernier. But I think they've missed a trick with not getting Hickey, keeping Patterson, even Doig, that type of thing, because they're trying to play the wingers on the other bud and getting the ball in and what have you. But this isn't about 8 years on or 5 years on since when Barisic first came. So I think he's maybe Tavernier the exact same.
So you ultimately, Jack, do you think they've missed the boat with some of the Scottish fullbacks that are out there?
No, absolutely. And I think they have. And I guess some of the mm-hmm. Scottish teams today would just turn their nose up at maybe these type of players, but we should be bringing these players in.
It's interesting. I mean, Hickey was actually a while ago now when you think about it, and you wouldn't get him now. That's just the reality of it. Patterson Rangers took a very good financial deal for someone who hadn't played. I do still see a lot of tweets
about Patterson.
No, but Josh Doig. I do see that almost like, you know, why was that one that was allowed? You know, why didn't one of Glasgow's big two, but Jack's looking at it from a Rangers perspective. Josh Doig one that got away.
Yeah, I think he did. A terrific young lad, terrific talent. I agree with you what you said there, Gordon, about Patterson. Very hard to refuse that sort of money. I like Patterson, terrific player. I think he'll only get better and mature as he gets more games. But when that sort of when clubs like Everton come knocking and offer you that sort of money, it's very hard to refuse. Look, I still think Barisic going forward and delivery of the ball is one of the best in the business. I really do. Yes, we can argue all day long about his defensive qualities. Tavernier on the other side is the exact same. Yilmaz has been brought in there at left back to challenge Barisic. It's not happened. I think Beale looks at Barisic as his number one just now. But I do agree. I think there've been some good Scottish fullbacks. Whether they've chosen, you know, different paths to go abroad, and then obviously Hickey ends up in the Premier League. So whatever his decision was, it looks like it's been the correct mm-hmm. one. Plus the fact he's now a regular Scotland internationalist. So he's went down the right path. But I still think there's room at Celtic and Rangers for the Scottish players, for instance, i.e. you look at Taylor, brought from Kilmarnock. He's been absolutely brilliant since Postecoglou, and obviously Brendan Rodgers has come in. So there's certainly talent out there.
Are you not feeling a bit better about things after last night, Jack, or have you still got some concerns?
I know people say no, I don't need to go, but these boys have been with us for a while. Let's be honest, they've been at pre-season. I know there's been kind of different ones coming in and out, but Lammers was one of the first ones in. The boy from Norwich was one of the first ones in. So, I mean, I know it's going to take time. I understand that, but I just think, we even missed a trick at Ferguson as well. I mean, it's countless sometimes we miss. We don't seem to back their own league. These people know their own league.
Yeah, I've heard that again. Lewis Ferguson's another name that seems to keep coming up in those types of conversations. We do judge quickly. I feel like already perception wise, Sam Lammers has gone from someone who apparently was the bright spark in the early bit of pre-season, who people were really excited to see, to now, according to Jack and I think some of the other callers, one of the guys that really needs to pick up a bit in the space of what, a couple of weeks?
I think a few of them are in that bracket.
I feel like he was getting a lot of praise in those early.
But I think it's been highlighted because we've been speaking about it tonight as well, as probably the chance opportunity missed last night would have probably put the tie to bed. So you sort of get the spotlight for that. That's how fickle playing with clubs like Rangers and Celtic are. You know, Lammers, the jury's still out. He had a good start to his Rangers career pre-season, a lot of hope for him. But he's still to go and prove it in a big stage. And as time goes on, as I keep saying, it's the same as Celtic. I think they've got players that need bedded in. We're very early into the season. I think we need to be patient.
I think the group of players that Rangers have brought in will get better. But it's just how much better they'll get. Can they bridge that gap to Celtic? Can these new players go above and beyond what Rangers had? That's a big question. That's the worrying thing, I'm sure, for Beale. He's put his trust in this group of, is it nine players he's brought in? And the ones he's trusting his own self for the ones he's let go. And it has to show a progression. And he will get some slack at the start. But again, I'm a bit with Jack that we praise Beale for doing his business early and getting players through the door quickly so he could work with them on the pitch. But again, I'm not too sure that the ones that have already been there...
Still nothing prepares you for competitive games though, surely.
Doesn't, but...
Celtic fans will tell us some of your pre-season performances.
Oh, we were hopeless. I was a terrible pre-season player. I really was. But in terms of a manager, work in a style throughout pre-season. You want to see on the pitch in some of the games and pre-season games and then the first few competitive games. I'm not sure we're seeing that just now with Michael Beale. And again, it's not a new manager. He's been there since early December, so I think Rangers fans may be looking for a wee bit more in that respect.
Okay, thank you to Jack. Rangers do have an advantage ahead of next week, though. Let's see what happens there. It looks like it's still goalless between Hibs and Luzern. Hearts probably going to settle for that 2-1 defeat, which does feel a whole lot different. The birthday boy, Lawrence Shankland, getting the goal. 5 minutes added on. I think there's only about one or two of those left. So it does, yeah, maybe we'd take 2-1 at this point. The birthday boy, as I say, Lawrence Shankland with a nice header.
Shares a birthday with my son, actually. I'll take this opportunity. Happy birthday, Oliver. Brilliant. 12 today. Shares a birthday with Lawrence Shankland. There you go. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Oliver.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Many happy returns.
Yeah.
Get you a pint later when I get back.
Any other?
He's 12.
Copperberg's full of fruit.
Please drink responsibly.
I'll drink responsibly, Oliver.
Would be the key message. That is the younger of your two sons as well, isn't it?
I'm going to draft school tomorrow.
Right, okay. Anyway, let's get ready to round off tonight's teaser. Is there anything else out there? Is there any other stories that we feel like we have to bring you that I've not mentioned? I don't think so. Not particularly. Anything else you want to get off your
chest? Big games at the weekend, though, coming round. It does already mentioned about Rangers at home to Livy, but Celtic away to Pittodrie, away to Aberdeen at Pittodrie, always a tough fixture. Hard one for Brendan Rodgers in his second game in charge, so it's going to be interesting.
And on Twitter, there are still thoughts coming in about Carl Starfelt's move, and it's funny because it's not even all Celtic fans. Scott says, I once moved from Blackpool to Coat Bridge for love. And I could make midweek games at Ibrox easier, he says.
Oh,
right, okay. Yeah. We definitely need to pick up on that
Blackpool
Saturday.
Blackpool at Coat Bridge.
Don't we, like, you know, like, I think there's real mileage in this.
Gab could probably give you a few.
I believe it, because think about it. Only three, is it three games Saturday?
Yeah.
No early kickoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of time to fill. Yep, that's a great idea. Good, I look forward to it. Right, your full-time teaser for tonight was sent in by Andrew in Burmullock, was it? I think it was. And thanks again to Andrew. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. That is the address. Fulltime@Clyde1.com. And Andrew wanted you to name just three players, which shows you it's a good question. You only need three answers to this, who've won every domestic honour north and south of the border. You've given me Joe Hart, Man City and Celtic, Kenny Dalglish, Celtic and Liverpool. Your colleague Stephen Mill was giving it a go, sending me messages. Matthew nailed all three quite quickly. I don't know if he's seen this question before, or he's just that sharp.
I've got a couple, and I think I've got one. I've got the answer, but I've got two. One right and one wrong. There you go. Obviously.
I don't know, right, whatever right. That means.
I'll go first one. Flo.
Tory Andrew Flo. No.
Right, didn't well, one of those I'll things. Go the one that...
Mark, you get any guesses?
Roy Keane. It's no. Got to be Roy Keane.
No.
Well, that would have required them to win a treble up
well,
here.
Well, I'll give you a clue who it is.
Oh, aye.
He
didn't win the Scottish
Well, I'll give you a clue who it is.
Go on. Demonstrate it. Demonstrate it to the camera. Yeah. Which camera is he looking
it's
at?
It's there.
That one for
no,
you.
No, don't.
This one, while I'm talking.
He
no.
goes down the wing.
Right.
Oh, you're old, mate.
One of my favourite players.
And I was standing in the
yeah,
dugout.
Because he did that to you.
There
yeah.
we
is
are.
It?
Yes, it is Andrew Kuchelskis. Well done. Thank you, Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. We are back tomorrow with Kenny Miller and Hugh Keevans. Remember, if you want to catch up on the show, you can listen back wherever you get your podcast. You can watch it back. Callum Gallagher's up next. He's got music from Black Eyed Peas and Switch Disco.
Super Scoreboard with Col Robert Accident Repair. Recruiting automotive panel technicians now. Visit their website to apply.
Make your bingo go with a bang at takeabreakbingo.co.uk. Right now, new players who register and spend £10 can get a £50 scratch room bingo bonus. Lovely stuff. With an offer this good, why don't you swing by takeabreakbingo.co.uk today? Over 18s only, offer ends October 31st. Two times wagering within 2 weeks required. T's and C's apply. BeGambleAware.org.